Hello, I'm Barry Daniel, and this is the podcast of the Middle Way Society. Our aim is to encourage a universal approach to living a more integrated, ethical life, avoiding dogma or any appeal to authority. Today's guest is the chair of the Middle Way Society, Robert M. Ellis. And what we're going to be talking about is critical thinking. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the MWS podcast.
Thank you.
Now, you're a philosopher and you tutor critical thinking online. So how did you first become interested in critical thinking?
Well, I did a PhD in philosophy. That was part of the approach, because critical thinking is the application of philosophical skills, really, in all sorts of other contexts. But when I first started getting involved in critical thinking specifically was through teaching it in the sixth form college. So I was teaching philosophy and religious studies, and then got into teaching critical thinking AS. Okay. And found it an extremely useful set of skills, I think, that you could teach for a wider range of students than you would ever get for philosophy.
Okay. So could you just go into a little bit more detail what critical thinking is, and maybe what its origins are?
Okay, I mean, its origins specifically as a subject just seem to be in the last few decades really it really got going in the US, I think, but it's been going as an A-level and AS qualification in this country, in the UK, for about 10 years or so.
Okay.
But what it involves, critical thinking is the skill of understanding argument and of arguing well, and so seeing how things connect, rationally speaking. So whether one kind of claim implies another kind of claim, whether it must be true if the first claim is true. That's the basic link of what we call reasoning. And we use those links all the time in all kinds of contexts, whether you're just having a conversation in a pub or in a newspaper or whatever, or in any subject, really, any academic subject.
Okay.
So we're all using the skills of critical thinking all the time, but it's just a question of how well we use them, really. And critical thinking is a purely skills-based discipline, which just focuses on how we're doing it, how we're fitting those ideas together. And when we claim that one thing supports another, then how well it really supports it.
Okay, so is that in the sense an what is an argument? If you could define that.
Well, an argument just consists of reasons and a conclusion, or it could be quite a few of those strung together in some way or another. So an argument takes some sort of evidence or some sort of assumption, and puts forward something else that it thinks must be true as a result of that. So it could be something very simple. So if Fred's coat's normally hanging in the hall and Fred's coat's missing, then you draw the conclusion that Fred is out. It's a very simple use of argument. It might just be in our thoughts, we might even articulate it, but that's a process of reasoning.
Yeah, okay. And I've often heard the word assumption bandied about with critical thinking as well. How does that tie in?
Well, an assumption is something you start with when you do reasoning like that. So let's take that simple example we had just then. So if you see that Fred's coat's missing from the hook where it normally is, you're making certain assumptions there, aren't you, in order to conclude that he's gone out. So you're assuming, well, firstly, that you're seeing it right, that you're not seeing an optical illusion. That's one basic assumption. Yeah. But another is that, it hasn't gone to the dry cleaners or something like that. There could be another reason why Fred's coat's missing. So nearly always our uses of reason depend on assumptions of that kind.
Right.
Which could be wrong.
Okay, yeah. And another term I've heard is logical fallacies. What are they, and how can their identification be of practical use?
Well, logical fallacies are mistakes, basically, that we make in reasoning. So we believe that a conclusion follows from or is justified from certain sorts of starting points, certain assumptions, and if we reason wrongly in some way, that so there are various sorts of patterns of wrong reasoning, mm-hmm. called logical fallacies. Some of them are more formal than others, but there are some particularly common ones, like for example, ad hominem, where it's where you draw a conclusion about an argument that somebody has made, which is actually about them, it's not about their argument. Right. And the various variants on that, a lot that you hear in Parliament, regularly used, for example, you know, when the politicians attack one another rather than what they're actually talking about, or the record of their party or something else irrelevant like that. Or another one of great relevance to middle way philosophy, I think, is the false dichotomy. So where you draw a conclusion based on the assumption that there are only two options to choose from, but actually there could be a whole spectrum of options when you look into it more closely. And so are you a Catholic or a Protestant? You know, that's the sort of leading question, which assumes a false dichotomy that there's only those two choices.
Right. Okay. Got you. What's the difference between logical fallacies and cognitive biases? Or is there a difference?
Well, cognitive bias is just a way of, it's a psychological description.
Right.
Of what's going on when a logical fallacy is going on. I mean, a logical fallacy is described from the outside, as it were, regardless of who does it. Whereas a cognitive bias is what's going on in somebody's brain when they're engaged in and mistaken in reasoning or drawing an unjustified conclusion.
Okay. To what extent is it taught in schools, critical thinking?
Not as much as it might be. I mean, it's only taught in sixth forms, and then not in all sixth forms at all. So it's available at AS particularly, and a very few students now take it on to A2, the second year of sixth form. So it's most often a course done with a few bright students in sixth form as a sort of add-on additional course.
Mm-hmm. It might
be good to see it taught lower down the school, because I think it will be very useful to much wider range of students than currently get to get any training in it.
Okay. Is there any evidence to show that it can help with other subjects?
Yeah, there's a study which has shown a correlation anyway between students succeeding better in other subjects, getting better grades in other subjects, and studying critical thinking. And one of the things you learn in critical thinking is that a correlation doesn't necessarily mean a cause. So you could get statistics that line up that seem to show the same pattern, but they don't necessarily mean that one is causing the other. But yeah, there is some indication that it might help students to do better. And it's one of those things that stands to reason. It's just a question of how clearly we could prove it.
Okay. Yeah. So how is critical thinking then related to middle way philosophy?
Well, middle way philosophy is one of the crucial ideas in middle way philosophy is the idea of cognitive models. So that the idea that we get certain models of how things are, we tend to obsess about these models or get stuck in them or think that these are the ultimate answer. And the middle way is trying to avoid, you know, getting stuck in that kind of way in a particular cognitive models. But to avoid getting stuck in this sort of way, idea that we got the ultimate answers, I think there are two ways into that. You can catch us kind of from outside cognitive models. You can work with your whole body and whole brain. You could do yoga and meditation, for example. And that might help to sort of loosen your obsession with a particular way of how you think things are. But you can also work from the inside, as it were, with reason itself. I see as doing the latter. So it's working with, looking at how we reason and how well we're doing that in order to see the limitations and to stretch those cognitive models that we tend to hang on to in that way, and make the boundaries of them a bit more supple and a bit more open.
Okay, so critical thinking from a middle way philosophy perspective is a practice that is especially helpful with the integration of belief.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, the integration of belief, there's two aspects to that mainly. That there's getting coherent beliefs that fit with other beliefs and are based on evidence. Yeah. That's what people tend to focus on most in science, for example. But the other aspect of integration of belief is the recognition that you may be wrong, like that fallibility or provisionality, in a way, which you think. I think critical thinking does a lot to encourage that as well as the coherence side of our thinking.
Okay. So are you saying that if you can learn to think more critically, that this helps you to think less dogmatically?
Definitely. Yeah. Because it gives you a sense of, it is the discipline really of looking at your own argument as well as looking at other people's arguments and thinking carefully, well, does that really justify that claim that I'm making, or how far does it do so? How much confidence should I really have in that conclusion that I'm drawing? And you may still decide to go ahead and assert what you're asserting, but perhaps you'll do so with a little bit more space than you would have done otherwise if you recognise the limitations in it.
Okay. Yeah. So apart from taking an exam such as an AS or an A-level, what other ways would you suggest that people can learn about or engage with critical thinking?
Well, there's all sorts of books on it, so it's quite possible, obviously, just to pick up a book on critical thinking for yourself and learn about fallacies and so on and do exercises. And there are also various websites you can do that yourself in. It's possible to get private tuition in it, so that's one thing I do offer myself is web conference tuition. Or, of course, you could go to an evening class or whatever. I think there are some places where they offer classes in critical thinking. And I think there's some businesses which now see its value for employees, and may encourage people to do courses in critical thinking because it helps them to, for example, think carefully through a project and its implications or a piece of reasoning in a practical context like that.
Yeah. Okay. And also, what sort of practices would be beneficial to cultivating a more critical way of thinking?
Well, it partly depends on whether you've had some training in it already or not. But once you've got some idea of how to think critically, then you can practice it in all sorts of ways. So, yeah, you can practice it, for example, by reading a newspaper article and particularly a bad one, so something from the Daily Mail, say, and you can spot the fallacies in the arguments. Or the same thing overly, when you're listening to somebody or when you're having a conversation in the pub, it could be you can always practice critical thinking in those kinds of contexts. And then, of course, online, there's a lot of critical discussion. I mean, the problem with online discussion often is that it descends into fallacies and people calling each other names and they get stuck in positions. It's harder to move away from those in online discussion. But a good quality online discussion, which does take place in some places, could also help to hone critical thinking skills. Certainly.
Okay. Well, Robert M. Ellis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Middle Way philosophy at www.middlewaysociety.org.